Congregation, the scripture reading is Psalm 102. Psalm 102. We read God's word in Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaints before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure for ever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Beloved congregation, we have come to the end of the year 2021. Many things have changed. Loved ones have been taken from us. A child, a son, a grandson, a wife, a mother, a grandmother. Many things have changed. And sickness has prowled through our nation. For some of us, it has been a difficult year. And as we look back, we think of all the changes that have taken place. There were many blessings, outpourings of God's undeserved goodness. And there were also difficulties, there was sorrow. And one thing is for sure, that human life is characterized by many changes. But over against this, God never changes. And so there is in the midst of all the changes of life a sure refuge in God, because God is the unchangeable one. And that's what we see reflected in this Psalm 102. And we look at the words of our text, the verses 25 through 27. And there we see the words of our text: of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. So when we consider these verses, we find therein refuge in God. And we consider then the instability of man and the immutability of Christ. We find here a refuge in God, and we consider then the instability of man, but the immutability of Christ. Psalm 102 is a prayer of someone who is afflicted, of someone who is overwhelmed. And now he pours out his complaints before the Lord. These complaints are not about God. On the contrary, he acknowledges God's goodness. But these complaints are about himself, man. Because this poet knows that he has sinned, and that also the people he belongs to have also sinned. So he's confessing his guilt as he reflects upon the past. We are also reflecting upon the past, unwittingly, as we look back at this year, 2021. We consider what has all happened, also what happened in our lives, and also our sins, what we have done which should have never taken place. So it's fitting that we make confession of our sins. Because we have sinned in many ways. And really, we must confess that many of our sins we have totally forgotten about, that we have not considered even after we committed them. We just carried on with our lives. So often we have sought our own honor and not the honor of God. We have also sought our own honor at the expense of other people. We have failed to obey Him, the Lord. We have neglected to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, our strength, and our mind. We should realize our ungratefulness, our unwillingness, our unfaithfulness, and that we have neglected to do what the Lord commanded us to do. And so it's fitting upon this day, in this evening, this last evening of 2021, that we do confession of our guilt. But above all, we should pray unto the Lord that the Lord would forgive us our sins, but that He would especially give us grace, that our lives would be renewed, that we would learn to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so in this psalm, The poet speaks about his sins, but he has also sorrowful complaints. He lifts up the needs of himself and the needs of the church of his days, and he expresses the great afflictions they were in. We find in this psalm words which can be used when we are in distress. And several of us have experienced distress in this past year. A father taken away, or a mother, a son, a wife. And this psalm reaches out to us and gives us words that we can lay before the Lord, that we can lay before the Lord complaints because of our grief, because of our sorrow. The prophet Hosea says, "Take with you words," and so come before the Lord. And those words, they are found in the Word of God. And so we find here in the Psalm 102 expressions that we can lay before the Lord to lay our grief before the Lord and to sigh out before the Lord our grief, our sorrow, our loneliness, and also our remorse because of things that went wrong in our lives. And so we may take these words when we have complaints, when we have grief. Because the Holy Ghost has inspired these words of Psalm 102 to give us words that we can lay before God. Because also even God's children go through afflictions. They go through sorrow. And when there is grief, we find in this psalm words we can use. But at the same time, when God's people go through sorrow and grief, the Lord often gives also special words of comfort. And we should not forget those words of comfort. The words a loved one may have spoken before he or she passed on. That when we may have good hope for our loved one, that's special. And we should not forget what the Lord has given in His mercy and in His grace. No, we should not forget any of the loving kindnesses of the Lord with which He has remembered us in His mercy. No, we should not forget His benefits. Let us not forget one of the benefits of the Lord in our lives, because the Lord is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, full of loving kindness. Over against our sins and the difficulties of life, there are the mountains of God's goodness which we may not forget. Psalm 102 also speaks of the goodness of the Lord. That verse 21, that the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion, His praise in Jerusalem, because God must be praised, His name must receive adoration, even in the midst of difficulties. But the Lord does give us liberty to pour out our complaints and our sighs, our sighings before the Lord. And if we look at this Psalm 102, what are the difficulties this poet is going through? He has complaints about himself, about his sins, but he has complaints because of the dire circumstances God's church is in. The people of Israel, they are in dire circumstances. The city of Jerusalem is destroyed. The people are taken away into exile. The temple is burned up. It's terrible. It's awful. And so he's praying on behalf of Jerusalem. They're in great need, because the Lord has given them up to their enemies, because they did not serve the Lord according to His word. They indulged in idolatry. They committed all kinds of lewdness. And now the Lord is giving them up to their own sins. And then His judgments come. And so there was a great watering down of true religion. And that is the most terrible thing that can happen. It's worse than death. It's worse than the loss of loved ones. When the church waters down. When the church is not as she should be. When prayer is silenced in the midst of a congregation. When mutual love starts to become cold. And when God is not honored. When the Lord does not have the first place in one's life. And that was the case there in Jerusalem. All the outward worship services continued on until the temple was destroyed. But at the same time, they wanted to go along with the present culture, the culture of the surrounding nations, and they indulged in idolatry, and they neglected the laws of the Lord. And so they were pining away. Now they were languishing. And to their own estimation, the church is in the wilderness, because this poet, Psalm 102, speaks about animals, birds that live in the wilderness, like the pelican and the owl. And the poet feels as if he is like a sparrow alone upon a housetop in verse 7. Ashes are put upon his head. He is throwing ashes upon himself as a sign of great grief, as was the custom in the Middle East in those days. And in verse 10, the poet says that to his estimation, the Lord has lifted him up and has cast him down upon the ground. To his estimation, the firm ground underneath him has given way. And so the poet speaks here about the brevity of life. On the last day of this year, we are reminded of the brevity of life. Man perishes. And how many generations have passed away since creation? But the poet tells us that the Lord has laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of His hands. The Lord created sun and moon and stars. He directs the motions in the heavens and keeps all the planets and all the stars exactly where they are. Sun and moon and the earth, it stays in their balance, in their rotations, in their equilibrium. It's all by God's power. And it remains the same. The Big Dipper remains exactly where it is for centuries, since creation. Because the heavens are the works of Thy hands. And there's a foundation underneath the earth, that the earth remains, and that seasons continue on, summer and winter, seed time and harvest time. It's all in balance. While our lives are in continual fluctuation. But then scriptures tell us that even this earth will be consummated. And even the heavens and the stars and the planets and the sun and the moon, they will pass away. But God and His word will never pass away. They are unchangeable. And Calvin says, when we are yet scarcely born, we are already under the shadow of death. We are mortal human beings. There's in no part of our life a condition in which we do not hasten rapidly to death. The Apostle Paul tells us that the whole of creation groans and is in travail, in pain, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Because heaven and earth, the creation longs to be delivered from corruption. And they are all held under subjection because man fell from God. Man rebelled against God. And even heaven and earth, they shall perish. But thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. And so Calvin comments that here on earth everything is sheer despair until we see God, until we look unto God. Because what is there in us? Corruption and rottenness, Calvin says. So at the end of the days, we are still looking in the mirror of death. And all changes that take place in this world are anticipations of its destruction. The whole framework of this world is hastening to its end. And what will become of the human race? Whole nations will be overthrown. And what stability is there in one human being like you and me? Peter says the end of all things is at hand. There will be an end, not only of this year 2021, but there will be an end of us, of all of us, whether we be younger or old. There will be an end to our days. There will be an end of our ways and an end to our thoughts here on earth. If it would be that some of us could be like that messenger of Job who came to him and said to him, I alone am escaped. Then there would be a little hope that some of us could avoid this corruption and this mortality. But there is no hope in man. There's no hope in the things of this life. Because the end of all things is at hand. And so this psalm shows us the instability of human life. And that's all a result of man's sin. We know that. The wages of sin are death. And therefore everything changes in this world. And therefore we can indeed be in great need, that we feel we are in great need. And because of the sins of the people of Israel, they were led into exile. And there in exile, they sang their songs of complaints and sorrow and grief. And they knew it was all because of their unfaithfulness to God. For without God, there's no real hope. If we live in this life without God, we will sooner or later fall into great despair. Because we lack the only comfort in life and death. If the Lord is at the side in your life, on the sidelines, if you call upon Him when you're in trouble, then you need Him. But when you don't need Him, you put Him to the side and you carry on with your life until you have a problem or until you need a blessing. Then you ask Him again for a blessing, and then when the blessing occurs, you carry on again. That's paganism. That's heathendom. That's how the heathens worship their gods. And we can do the same, that we need his blessing, but we don't need him. But you see, it's not about his blessings. It's about him. It can be that many blessings will be removed from you. But if he is in your life, then everything is well. Then all things will work together for your well-being. And you will be more than conquerors over every enemy, over death itself, over the devil, over everything, over sin. Because he is in your life. And that's the most important thing. It's not about our situation, our conditions, grief, or an empty place in our life. It's about God. Because God is the unchangeable God, the immutable God. And in God, there is stability. And so we reflect upon the immutability of Christ. The author of Psalm 102 expresses the great afflictions, but he has this hope that God is the unchangeable one. And he has this hope that God would graciously hear him. Because the Lord has promised that sinners who seek him uprightly, humbly, that they will not be put to shame. They will not seek him in vain. The Lord hears humble prayer. And so this poet begs the Lord to come over in his life, and that the Lord would not hide his face, especially in the midst of troubles he is in. And even if the Lord would not quickly deliver him from his needs, he begs God that God would show him that he is still accepted of God, that he is still one of God's children, that even if I do not see thy hand working deliverance, let me see the smiles of thy face upon me, for the hiding of God's countenance is worse than death. The hiding of God's countenance for a child of God is worse than death. And therefore it's not about blessings, but it's about God. For although the church is in great distress, and even if Israel is in exile upon foreign soil, they may know that God is the unchangeable one. He is immutable. And his promises have the guarantee of deliverance. Because God is always all-powerful and all-knowing to fulfill his promises. He is faithful to his word. So he is an ever-present help in time of need. And so the Lord makes himself known, not as someone of the past, but he is always. Before Abraham was, I am. Because the Lord Jesus is always I am. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, always. And that is the comfort in the immutability of God. Thou shalt endure. Even when the heavens perish. The heavens, you stay there, immutable, but they're going to perish. But thou dost endure. And in verse 27, thou art the same, and thy years have no end. There's no beginning to the years of God. He is from everlasting. And there's no end to the years of God. He is still everlasting. And when you have learned to love and to know Him, and when He has come into your life, you may know that He loved you from everlasting, from before the foundation of the world. He already knew you. He already loved you. He already had His name, has your name united to His name. And as long as God exists, He will continue to love you. And He will exist forever. And you who have learned to love Him will be forever under the shadow of His wings, under the loving kindness of His face. Because God is immutable. It's the Lord who says, I am God, I change not. Therefore are ye sons of Jacob not consumed. God's children lack comfort because they fail to consider the immutability of God. That's the secret to comfort. Maybe you're sitting here with grief. Maybe you can't cope with it. Consider the immutability of God. It's not about this life. It's about the life to come. That's what our lives are all about. And that should be the aim, the focus. That should be our yearning, our desire. Like the horse is pulling on the reins, wants to go back to the stable. Because that's what this life is about. It's about God. And God lives on. No distraction can overtake Him. What an assurance is this? On earth we may lose our dearest earthly companions, a wife, a husband, but you will never be bereft of your heavenly friend. Your Maker is your husband. And now our days can be cut short, but those who live the longest have only lived a few days. But the years of the Most High, they cannot be counted. He remains the same in power, in loving kindness, in faithfulness. He's the same. Also tomorrow. The immutability of God. But actually, it is the immutability of Christ. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so. Because these verses are picked up by Paul when he wrote Hebrews. He quotes these same verses. And then the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 1:10-12, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And the Apostle Paul is speaking here about Christ. The whole epistle to the Hebrews, you remember? The epistle to the Hebrews, all those sermons, maybe you don't, but it's about Christ, about the faithfulness of Christ, about he is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the living high priest now in heaven. You don't see him, but they never saw the high priest at work in the Holy of Holies in the temple either. So there's really no difference, except for this difference, that the temple was only a blueprint. But we have the real living high priest there in heaven who continually prays for his church, and that's why his people are not consumed, and that's why his church is not consumed, and that's why his church is continued on throughout the world, because Jesus Christ lives and is still gathering people to belong to his church. It's about Christ, Hebrews. And so these verses that are quoted from Psalm 102 refer to Christ. He is the unchangeable one. And Hebrews 13 verse 8, it's being confirmed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. This psalm speaks of the everlasting priesthood of Christ. Because thou art the same, verse 27, and thy years shall have no end, because the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's why the Lord Jesus said in John 1, verse 15, John the Baptist said that, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Lord Jesus spoke through the Old Testament prophets. The Lord Jesus spoke through the Apostle Paul, because he says in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 3, you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. The Lord Jesus existed in the days of Moses. We should say the Son of God, the not yet incarnated Son of God. He was in that pillar of a cloud. He spoke to Moses like a man speaks to his friend. The Son of God was already the mediator between God and Moses in the Old Testament. He was God himself speaking to Moses. Christ was with those people in the wilderness already then. He was always present. The Apostle Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. That's tempting Christ, because he is the same. Noah, he spoke to the people of his generation, was a preacher of righteousness, but it was the Spirit of Christ speaking through Noah to the people of his generation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is immutable from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the strength of his people, and he has said, lo, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Every day. Also today, also tomorrow. God's children, do not fear. Be watchful, but don't fear. Don't be afraid. Fear not the future, because you have an immutable God. That's the comfort. He's the mediator. He will remain to be the mediator, ushering all his people into the house of his Father. presenting them before his Father. He will always be the prophet to teach you the way you must go. He will be the king always to defend you, to protect you from attacks of the devil. It will be too much for you. He will always be the king to carry you, to protect you, to sustain you. He will always be the priest to bless you, to pray for you. The immutability of Christ. And Christ will be the light of New Jerusalem. Imagine to see his face, to be made like unto him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the unchangeable God, immutable in his nature, unchangeable in his love and affection. And he has limitless power. And he has perfect wisdom to guide and lead his people. And his blood is always enough to cleanse, to pardon. He is always the same. And this is the comfort in all the changes we are going through. And therefore his church has hope. And therefore you who feel alone, you have hope. Not in yourself, but in Christ. When you had to stand at the grave of a loved one, and now you have grief, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able and willing to save to the uttermost. And he shall do so to those who humbly bow before him. And so God's word gives comfort and perspective in the midst of all the changes of our days. Even if our society is confused, and even if people wonder who shall so show us any good, we may focus on the immutability of Christ. That's the firm foundation over against all the instability of this world, over against all our fickle conduct, and over against our unworthiness. The Lord Jesus comes to us. In this last service of the year 2021, to reveal himself as the everlasting and immutable one. Therefore, let us hide in the Lord. Let us flee with all our impossibilities and all our failures to him, and weep for your sins, that you do not love him more because he is so worthy, and hunger and thirst for him. There's true comfort in this Savior. And he promises you, if he is for you, who will be against you? When we see the power of the evil one going through our society, and when we see sins are being propagated, let us have good courage and stay firm upon God's immutable word, and have good courage because of his immutability, and let us expect good things and have good hope, a good perspective, not from this world, not from this life, but from him, the immutable Christ, who will undertake for you, you who hope upon him, more than you think, he will undertake for you. In a surprising way, he will undertake for you, you who hope upon him. But if it is in your life that actually you're living for the things of this life, for your business, your work, your income, all the toys of this world, this society offers us, and you belong to those who need the Lord, then you call upon him. But for the rest, you put him to the side. And you don't want him to speak to you. You want to live your own life. You want to do what you like. And to lay down your life, you don't do that. Remember, if he's on the edge of your life, you know that very well. You know your own heart. You know who's in control of the steering wheel of your life. And if it's not the Lord Jesus, my friend, then you have just wasted a year of your life. And then it's high time. There's still time left for you to bow your knee and to confess, Lord, I have wasted my life. I've chased after this life. And I've not sought thine honor. I did not give thee the center stage of my life. Confess that. Because you're still outside of Christ. Bow before him. And confess your poverty. Your inability. That you're foul. And call upon his name. And he will not reject you. Because he is immutable. Amen.